Health insurance was supposed to protect families. But what happens when it's the very thing forcing them to cut back on groceries, take on debt, or go uninsured? Let's get into it.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman. To help us understand all of those questions that I just posed, we've invited Luna Lopez, Senior Survey Manager with the Kaiser Family Foundation, where she leads nationally recognized research on public opinion, healthcare policy, including new insights into how rising ACA marketplace costs are impacting real consumers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Luna.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So level set for us. I know Kaiser Family Foundation does loads of surveys. Most of the people in our business are well acquainted with some of them. What was this particular survey and what was its goal?
Sure. So we, back in November 2025, so shortly after the start of open enrollment, we conducted a probability-based survey of more than 1,300 adults with marketplace coverage. And in that survey, we asked, enrollees about their awareness of the expiration of the enhanced premium tax credits, what they expected to happen to their premiums, and what they were likely to do if their health insurance costs went up. So this more recent survey we just conducted in February of this year, so this is after the credits, the enhanced premium credits had expired. So we went back to those same marketplace enrollees, so the people who had marketplace coverage, at the end of 2025, and we re-interviewed more than 1,100 of those same individuals. So that's over 80% of the original sample. And so by following up with these 2025 marketplace enrollees, we were able to kind of get a better understanding of how they navigated their coverage choices for 2026. And really just a better sense of how they're dealing with their health care costs this year.
So if you had to like very top line it before we dive into some details, what was the one or two top takeaways from the survey?
Yeah, I think, the big takeaway for us was, I think there's a lot of focus on, how many people were going to drop their coverage. And, that's something that we found. We did find that about 1 in 10 2025 enrollees dropped their coverage. But really, the big takeaway for us was that a lot of people kept their coverage because health insurance is incredibly important to them, but they're really struggling and having to make sacrifices in other areas of their life in order to maintain this coverage, because they're all saying that they're really experiencing higher healthcare costs. So about 8 in 10 of these returning marketplace enrollees are saying that either their premiums, deductibles, or copays are higher this year.
So it's plan design that's troubling them, or cost, or both?
I think what we see is really a concern about cost and the impact that higher costs are having this, on their general lives and their budgets and their kind of, the choices that they're going to have to make in their household in order to be able to afford, all their expenses.
What did the survey find are the drivers of the sharp increase in marketplace costs right now?
So what we asked really was how people are experiencing it, right? So what did their costs go up? And what we saw is that 80% say either their premiums, deductibles, or copays increased and are higher this year than they were last year. When we kind of dig a little deeper, what we see is that about 40% of returning marketplace enrollees, so these are people who had marketplace coverage in 2025 and kept their marketplace coverage this year, 40% of them are saying that their monthly health insurance premium is a lot higher this year compared to last year. And then another 23% say that it's, somewhat higher this year compared to last year. We also know that, some people kind of chose to select a different tier plan, so drop down a tier. And while that might have mitigated some of the premium increases, that might also lead to higher deductibles and higher co-insurance and co-pays. And so we also see that about a quarter of returning marketplace enrollees are saying that their deductible this year is a lot higher than it was last year.
It's that teeter-totter that the entire industry has been struggling with for years, long before ACA even came about. You know, we were into that, okay, let's do bigger and bigger and bigger deductibles. And then what we found on the commercial side was that we ended up with people who are functionally uninsured. They have a card in their wallet, but they don't feel that they can afford to use it. And I you know, which is worse? I don't really know. What did you find that people are cutting back on basic living expenses? Is that kind of what they're trying to do to balance out the new increased costs?
Yeah. So it's, you know, what you just said about like people kind of feeling they're uninsured and still worrying about costs. We also saw that, you know, these people who still have their marketplace coverage, a lot of them are still saying that they're concerned about affording medical care, especially emergency care and hospitalizations. But also we see, you know, a notable share saying that they're concerned about just affording routine medical visits and prescription drugs. So having insurance isn't really insulating them from those affordability concerns specific to healthcare. But to your question about what people are cutting back on. So what we see is that a lot of people are cutting back on food and groceries and these kind of, you know, less fixed expenses, right? So we see that 37% said that they're already cutting back on food, clothing, and basic household items in order to cover costs related to healthcare. And a further 18% say that they're planning on doing this.
Wow, that's huge. So people who are still worried about affording care, is it just the price, or is it that they have low savings so they can't deal with a larger deductible or inflation in general? What did you guys find?
You know, we see that the biggest area of concern really is like that emergency care and hospitalizations. And in our other kind of polling, just among the general public, we see that like, you know, surprise medical bills or unexpected medical bills are really an area of concern, just because you never know when that's going to happen. And we all know how expensive that kind of emergency care can be. So really, that's a principal area of concern. And then we also see that, you know, if you have high deductibles and things of that nature, even just like accessing regular care or prescription drugs could be concerning in terms of how you're going to afford it. You know, so those are the kind of things that we're seeing in the data.
On the emergency care side, are you finding the folks that you're surveying are still using emergency rooms as their point of entrance, even though they have insurance?
We didn't really get too deep really explore kind of further digging into like where they're getting care. We really kept it. Most of the questions that we asked were really about how people are dealing with their health insurance costs and less about, you know, kind of healthcare utilization.
So you mentioned earlier that people are switching maybe down to a lower tier to try to squeeze some affordability out of the system. Did you also learn that a lot of people are dropping coverage?
So what we found was that 1 in 10 marketplace enrollees from 2025 now say that they have that they're currently uninsured, so they've dropped coverage altogether. We also saw that younger adults, so 18 and 29-year-olds, were a bit more likely to say that they were uninsured now. So these are 18 and 29-year-olds who, at the end of 2025, had marketplace coverage. About 14% of them say that they're now uninsured.
Are they giving you the same kind of reasons for why they're dropping out?
Yeah, so we actually asked an open-ended question, just asking those who are uninsured now, you know, why do you no longer have marketplace coverage and why are you uninsured? And really, costs was the most common response there. And that really pushed people to kind of drop their coverage. So again, these are people who had coverage, right? And what they're saying is that they just couldn't afford their premiums. And a lot of responses actually specifically mentioned the end of the enhanced premium tax credits and how that just made it just too difficult for them to afford.
Well, you know, the costs were there. They just kind of got ameliorated a little bit by those extra credits. And then when they went away, I'm sure it was a shock for a lot of people because you had not only the credit that went away, but you had the year-over-year increase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for some folks, that was just too much. Did they reveal to you, and again, I'm asking more about what the survey, you know, got into, were they concerned about skipping care or taking on debt?
Yeah, so we asked, you know, what's the biggest kind of concern they have about being uninsured right now? And that definitely came up in terms of a lot of people saying that they're just, you know, kind of hoping and praying that they don't get sick. They're trying to take better care of themselves. And, you know, and they're hopeful that maybe they'll be able to afford or find another option for health insurance, you know, through the course of the year. But that's definitely a real real concern for people, what they might do if they face a serious illness or an accident and they need medical care.
Well, and the, you know, the bigger question, I guess, and I don't think this is something you surveyed, but the bigger question, you know, in terms of the market is if the young healthies drop coverage and they're not part of that pool, then you've got the older, sicker people who are part of the pool, and then you start driving costs up even more because you've taken quote unquote good premium out of the system. Did you get a lot of input on that?
Yeah, so we actually looked at, you know, kind of where they are now in terms of where these 2025 Marketplace enrollees are now in terms of their coverage status, right? And when we look at that younger group, that the 18 to 29, so almost half of the 2025 enrollees now are no longer on the Marketplace. So as I mentioned, 14% say that they're uninsured. And 36% said that they found they have some other type of coverage. So, and this is, you know, to be expected, I think, right? So we know that the Marketplace coverage a lot of times is kind of a last resort for people. And in that age group, you have a lot of life changes that happen, right? So you might get a new job, you might get married. And so you might find yourself with other, you know, insurance options. And so some churn in the Marketplace every year is expected, which is because, you know, people age into Medicare, or they switch jobs and things like that, or have other options available to them. But what we saw is that this was really a case where the 18 and 29 year olds were much more likely to leave the Marketplace altogether, whether that's dropping insurance, you know, and becoming uninsured, or switching to a different type of coverage. So they were much more likely to do that. To leave the Marketplace altogether compared to, you know, 30 to 49 year olds and those who are over 50.
Were you able to correlate any of that to employment or the economy in general?
Yeah, we couldn't really, you know, dig in any further to really know exactly, you know, what were the options available to them. We do have a sense of, we could look and see, you know, the specific different coverage types that they moved to. But overall, you know, it's a smaller share of the sample. So, so we couldn't really break it down any further and then dig into, you know, whether it was their employment or they got married and now had access to employer health coverage from a spouse and things of that nature.
Were you able to discern whether they were kind of worried or angry or confused?
So we asked kind of during the course of trying to find their coverage, how people felt about it. And what we saw is that, yeah, anger and confusion, those are emotions that people really did kind of experience when they were trying to go through open enrollment and see what, you know, what their options were and try to find coverage for 2026. So we saw that 63% of the 2025 Marketplace enrollees said that the process of looking for health insurance coverage options for this year made them feel worried, and 52% said that it made them feel angry. We also saw that, you know, 46% said that they were confused. And so we expect that some of that might be just, you know, they might be confused about the price increases and things like that. You know, it was probably a stressful situation for people as they were looking for their coverage options for 2026.
Not altogether unsurprising, given that, you know, another survey that you folks do on the regular is talking about healthcare literacy. And, mm-hmm. you know, the numbers really haven't changed in years. Very few people can even explain credibly what a deductible is. So it's not totally surprising that that would bleed into them being concerned and confused and worried. Did you pick up anything else in terms of attitudes, voter attitudes, or attitudes about this cohort?
So we asked, you know, kind of who people are blaming for their increased healthcare costs, And really, you know, what we found is that 70% of 2025 marketplace enrollees who still have marketplace coverage this year, so these returning enrollees, they're blaming health insurance companies. They place a lot of blame on health insurance companies. And that makes sense because that's who they're, you know, that's who they're paying their bill to, right? So that's they really feel like that's where the money's going when they're paying their premiums. But you know, what we saw is that lawmakers they're not really off the hook here either. So 54% place a lot of blame for their increased healthcare costs on Republicans in Congress. And a similar share, 53%, place a lot of blame on President Trump. And congressional Democrats also get, you know, 34% place a lot of blame on congressional Democrats. So we see that, you know, they are attributing some of this blame to lawmakers with the, you know, who basically let the enhanced premium tax credits expire at the end of last year.
Were you able to discern whether or not that's going to change anybody's voting patterns?
Yeah, so we kind of asked, you know, whether the cost of healthcare will have an impact on what people's decision to go out and vote, and whether it'll have an impact on, you know, which party's candidate they would support. And what we saw is that about 48% of 2025 marketplace enrollees said that, 48%, said that it would have a major impact on their decision to vote. And a similar share, so 49%, said that it would have a major impact on, you know, which party's candidate they would support. I think what we see is that Democrats especially seem particularly more kind of fired up about this issue and are more likely to say that it's going to have a major impact on their decision to vote and on which candidate to support.
That's interesting. The whether to vote or not part is actually, I think, a little bit more indicative than the which party to vote for, because Democrats generally vote for Democrats unless there's
right.
some weird outlier thing going on. So, but it's interesting that it will influence their decision whether or not to vote at all, because now a lot of the close elections are turnout elections.
Yeah. So what we saw is that about 2/3 of Democrats who had marketplace coverage in 2025 say that the cost of healthcare is going to, you know, have a major impact on their decision to vote, whereas only 27% of Republicans say that it will have a major impact on their decision of whether or not to vote.
So we've got a couple of more minutes left. Before we wrap up, were there any other findings that you thought were particularly interesting from this survey?
Yeah, I think what, you know, the real kind of takeaway for us was that a lot of these higher costs are really having an impact on how people are navigating their day-to-day life. Cutting back on spending on food, clothing, basic household items. They said we had that quantitative measure, but we also just asked people kind of what changes or actions they've taken or they think they may have to take in order to afford the healthcare costs this year. And this is where, you know, we saw in their kind of open-ended responses, you know, people saying that they're shopping for cheaper groceries and, you know, kind of cutting back a lot of discretionary spending, but also just, you know, not being able to fix kind of, you know, like broken water heaters in their home and things like that, just because they can't pay their premiums and also kind of deal with a major expense that comes their way. So I think it's really important to take like a holistic view of how healthcare costs really impact people's household finances and budgets, and how it has kind of this spiraling effect on people's, you know, kind of finances.
What a great discussion. Luna Lopez, Senior Survey Manager at Kaiser Family Foundation. Luna, we hope you'll come back as you survey more and learn more.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.